Everyone has an opinion when it comes to having a baby and raising kids. Just get the epidural. There's no prize for doing it natural. In my day, we just let the baby cry until they settle themselves down. Have you tried sage oil? And so many more comments, most of them unsolicited. Welcome to the Birth and Parenting Things podcast. My name is Kim, and I've got opinions too. I'm kind of an expert on birth. I've also managed to raise 3 babies into young adults. I'm here to offer evidence-based information, stories, personal experiences on birth, parenting, and everything in between. So let's do this. Hello, hello. I am so sorry that this is late. I know it's Friday and I usually have this put out on Thursday, but it has been a week. It has been a crazy week. So my bathroom is starting to get redone. Everything was demolished on Monday. Stuff was starting to get done on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. Stuff was completed to get the tiles started. So somebody was supposed to come today to do, I don't know, what's called mudding. I don't even know what that is. But I got a text late last night around dinner time that said the tiles that I wanted are a special order and it's going to take a week to get them. And I almost cried. But I held firm. These are the tiles that I want. So while I really want to get my bathroom back, because I really need to have a toilet in the middle of the night, I'm going to wait that time so I can get what I want. I have compromised so much on everything in my life for my whole life that I feel now that this is what I want, so this is what we're going to do. So today somebody was supposed to come today, but because of that they were going to prep things for the tiles, but because the tiles aren't going to be here, I have today off from having people in my house, which I'm really quite happy about. And I also have Monday off too, which is going to be really good because I'm going to actually do some Christmas shopping. Yes, I said the big C word before December 1st, but it is what it is. I need to get some shopping done so I don't have to be doing it at the last minute. So let's talk a little bit about sometimes with the holidays upon us, and of course, I'm recording this actually on Black Friday, so any American listeners would have had their Thanksgiving yesterday. But oftentimes, particularly in the U.S., there are a lot of inductions, medical inductions, scheduled around the holidays or just before the holidays so that your care provider would not be disrupted by you going into labor over Christmas or Thanksgiving or things like that. In Canada, we have a slightly different way of doing things. You will potentially not get your own care provider. You will get whoever happens to be on call. So as a result, I don't think that we necessarily see a high rate of inductions for that reason. Now, some people will want to do inductions, particularly before Christmas and things like that, so they're not giving birth on Christmas. But also, we have a very multicultural, or I live in a very multicultural city, so there are many people around here who don't care about Christmas. So as a result, I don't think we see quite as many inductions sort of happening for those reasons. But I personally did have an induction. I actually had 3 inductions. And while the decision to have an induction can sometimes either be very difficult, whether this is something you want to do, or it can also be quite easy. You may be like, yeah, sign me up. I'm good for that. We want to sort of look at the reasons why inductions are done. So I will talk a little bit about my own sort of induction stories and talk about why we do them and you know, sort of the reasons why we do them. So there are many reasons why a medical induction may be necessary. For me, the reason was, as I believed it to be at the time, that I was 8 days past my estimated due date. Once I hit 40 weeks, the midwife I was working with suggested an ultrasound to ensure the baby and the placenta were doing well and to do a series of stretch and sweeps. Now, stretch and sweeps are not fun. They're not fun at all. And basically what the care provider does is they insert their finger into the cervix, if they can, and sweep around the top of it with their finger to sort of dislodge the amniotic sac from the top of the cervix. It has some benefits in theory. You are supposed to, after maybe a couple of them, you are potentially supposed to go into labor 4 days sooner than what you would have normally if we left you alone. But it is uncomfortable. It can cause cramping. It can cause bleeding. And sometimes it just doesn't work. So with me, I had three of them over the span of a week and none of it worked. Not even a little bit. Eventually, the midwife strongly suggested that a more substantial medical help would be needed to get my labor going. And of course, at that point, being, you know, almost 41 weeks, I jumped at that chance because I did not want to be pregnant anymore. I was so tired. I was heavy, and winter was upon us. And unbeknownst to me, multiple ultrasounds were indicating that my baby was actually quite big. Nobody told me this. The midwife chose to keep that information from me. And there is a part of me that is glad that she did that, because I think that information would have scared the hell out of me. But another part of me is very angry about that, as I was sort of not being given all the information that I needed to make the best decision possible for myself and my family. So that was not necessarily a good thing. I always stress, you know, when you ask about benefits and risks, you want to know about all the benefits and all the risks, not just some, not just what the care provider wants to tell you. So I will say, if this part of my pregnancy had been discussed with me, I may have chosen a different journey. I may have actually chosen to have a surgical birth. And this is the reason why I say you need to be able to make those decisions having all the information. So a suspected big baby is actually a reason why medical inductions are done, and often comes hand in hand if you're experiencing gestational diabetes. I was not. I had not been diagnosed with GD. I just seem to grow big babies. That's just who I am. With gestational diabetes, you may end up growing a baby bigger than what you would without it. So this is sort of the reason why big babies are sort of one of the big risk factors. Especially if the diabetes isn't being managed well with diet alone, these inductions can often be scheduled around 38 or 39 weeks because there's concern that baby's size is sort of growing exponentially. On the flip side, and I don't know this from personal experience, another reason why inductions are done is if your baby is too small, or what is referred to as intrauterine growth restriction. If the care providers suspect that your baby is small, you will go for a few ultrasounds to make sure that the placenta and the fluid and the cord and everything are working well, but also to make sure that baby isn't slipping below the 10th percentile or slipping in percentile at all. They may feel that if that's happening, that baby might be safer on the outside, especially if they're not being able to get what they need from the placenta. And another reason, and I kind of hate this one, another reason why inductions are done is if you are considered advanced maternal age. So if you are over the age of 35, you are kind of labeled a geriatric first-time parent. Studies have shown that as you age, your risk of having a stillbirth also increases. Now, it's not a huge increase or a huge risk, and they can be quite small, in fact, less than a percent chance, but the risk is there. And it's important for you to be able to understand that and make the best decision for you, because this can be catastrophic and devastating. There is, I'll put in the show notes, a link to an article that you can read on evidence-based birth, on the evidence of pregnancy at age 35 and over. It's a really good read. So if you're over the age of 35, evidence-based birth is a really great organization to sort of get some information from. And finally, preeclampsia is another reason why medical inductions are done. As your pregnancy advances, your care provider will be watching for signs of preeclampsia. And this can be a very serious condition that can pose great risk to the birthing parent. High blood pressure, the indications of preeclampsia are high blood pressure, headaches, dizziness, spotty vision, rapid swelling of the hands and face, and protein in your urine can indicate that you have preeclampsia. If left untreated, the birthing parent is at risk of stroke or death. So that's huge. I know that sounds horrible, but this is why your care provider will attempt to lower your blood pressure through medication. And if that doesn't work, then an induction is recommended. And there may also be other reasons for medical induction based on your own unique medical history. So if one is being suggested and it wasn't really part of your original plan, then it's important to ask questions. Ask as many questions as you need to and trust your instincts that you can make the best possible decision for yourself and your family and your baby, all right? All right, so this is going to be very quick and short and sweet because I only have a small amount of time and I'm enjoying this sort of not having people in my house for a little bit. And yeah, so I'm going to watch some TV that I haven't actually been able to do. It sort of feels like I've been, you know, on from like 9 a.m. to working at night to like 8:30 at night. And it's a lot. And as someone who is basically an introvert and really doesn't like outside stimuli that much from other people, even though the contractors and workers are so incredibly nice, they're lovely people, but it's overwhelming to me. So while I fake it really well, it is kind of exhausting. So we're going to do the next couple of these really quick and short and sweet. And I encourage you, if you have any questions or if you have a story of your induction that you want to share, please feel free to do that. You can send me an email at birthandparentythings@gmail.com or you can check me out on Instagram at Toronto Doula Group or TikTok. God help me on TikTok. I'm not really there though, all that much because I can't record anything because my house is incredibly busy. But you can find me there at Toronto Doula Group as well. All right. Have a great one. And I hope you had, if you're from the States, I hope you had a really great Thanksgiving. And we'll see you next week. Bye.